12th chapter, 2 Corinthians. Now, let me explain. I preach a lot. That's all there is of me. There ain't nothing left to do but preach. I mean, you know, and so, but in January, I take off there in December, and I don't go, try not to go anywhere, get too religious around Christmas, you know. And we, you know, don't travel a lot. But I try to get a hold of the Lord for the next year. What the Lord, y'all do that? I just, Lord, where am I at? Give me the burden. Give me something. Because folks are going to be calling and wanting help, wanting me to come. And God laid a burden on me at the beginning of the year. And I'm going to share some of it with you here tonight. The Lord will help me. But at the minister's meeting, now I'm not scheduled to preach at the minister's meeting every year. I preach every year, but I'm not scheduled. I have to fill in for somebody. I'm the fill-in. Okay? And so, but I had this burden. Was you there at the minister's meeting? Were you there when I preached? He can't remember. I made an indelible impression upon your pastor. So this won't bother you then if I preach a rerun. That really helps me. But I got a burden about, and I was seeking the Lord, and what I'm getting ready to preach to you tonight is, I've preached along these lines several times, and all over. I don't know where all I've been. I can't remember everywhere since then. I know it's early, but I was seeking the Lord, and something had arose. I no need to go into all this. But I was walking the floor in an evangelist quarter somewhere in America, and I was praying, and a burden, the burden of my soul. I told God, and I mentioned this there. I told the Lord, I felt like the price that I was paying at that particular time was a little steep. Y'all ain't never had a weak moment? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, there is no price too high for a soul. And so I'd been praying about souls and getting a burden for souls. We'd had our prayer list at the beginning of the year. The year before, we'd had a fasting chain and fasted every day of the year. Our church did in a fast chain. And then this year, I felt like making a list. Brought some with me here today. Making a list of names of lost people. We had the crowd put in names. And I got my prayer list right here. Passed them out among the church. There was over 200 names, given to pray for it in the area for lost men and women. We began to seek the Lord for these around the clock, for the entire year, trying to generate a burden for lost people. And give me just three more minutes, I'll start preaching maybe. But as I began, God burdened me that it was in January. I was in this evangelist quarters when the Lord spoke that to me. That's not what I'm preaching tonight. That's why I preached a message at the ministers' conference on no price too high. And that was just the beginning. And I preached at the church the few times I've been there this year. I preached if you want to call it a series. I've been in between, but I've been preaching a series about soul winning. And about reaching and gleaning and working in the field. Oh, y'all gonna stay with me, aren't you? So this sermon is one of those sermons. It's popped in, burdened me this week. I've preached about this just about everywhere I know I have, everywhere I went. Well, at least one service, maybe more. And so my message tonight is sort of pertaining to this, but it's on investment. Investing in lives, in souls. Amen. And so I want you to look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just for a place to get started. And I covet your prayers that God will move. Now I'll tell you how usually with me, if I can get into this and the Lord's Spirit come in here, then I'm getting ready to shut it down and get an altar, get in here. But it's so vital, church. The Lord spoke to me and said, and I was complaining somewhat about the cost. And don't think it wasn't about the tires on my car and the gas in the tank. That's not what I was complaining about. But when the Lord spoke to me and said, there's no price too high. Boy, I just fell on the floor. I mean, I wept because I knew. I didn't argue with God no more. I just apologized and I just fell on the floor. And I saw how God felt about souls and how nothing that I've done was too much to pay for one soul. One soul. Now you're not getting this. Amen. If it was my soul, it would be important. And you know, I'm no more important than anyone else. Is that right? I thought of this beautiful complex here. Somebody knows what they're doing around here. I'm not trying to brag and get points. Don't need anywhere else to preach for a while, okay? But it's the only thing now, and I know you've never left this. I know your pastor. I know him. Amen. But what we need now is to fill these pews with lost men and women. Amen. That are converted by the power of the gospel. Is that right? Now, I want to read my text and I want to tell you something else. I may not help you, but you'll get some help before in the next 24 hours, okay? 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15. I want you to listen to the words of this real closely. Paul said to the church at Corinth, and I will very gladly spend. That almost seems like a paradox, don't it? Very gladly spend. How many knows the Bible said God loveth a cheerful person? Freely you have received, freely. What is the supreme beatitude? The supreme beatitude. Anybody read that old book? The supreme beatitude. What is the supreme beatitude? Oh, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That is the supreme beatitude. You're nervous, aren't you? You saw them 5-gallon buckets that we were taking the offering up in, didn't you? I'm not taking it up. I'm gonna get more out of you than money tonight. Paul said, "I very gladly spend. Listen, and be spent. I'm not only going to give currency. I am the currency." Not only the money, but the man. Ooh, hallelujah. How much are you willing to invest tonight? Listen to this. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. It ain't hard to get folks, and I'm going to let you sit out, it ain't hard to get folks to spend money on themselves or their grandchildren. But he said, now listen close. He said, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. I'm going to invest in you. And the more I invest in you, the less I am appreciated. But I'm going to do it gladly.
Oh, boy, this is...
Come on now. I want you to lift your hands, ask the Lord to help me, and you can be seated when you pray for me and help me to preach the gospel to you here tonight. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Preacher, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, glory. Praise the Lord. Woo. Now you stay with me tonight. Bless you, sweethearts. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight. Years ago, I've got 5 children. 3 girls and 2 boys. And when my kids were young, I think my oldest one was about... probably, let's see, 27 years ago. She's, 37. So, well, anyway, y'all do the math. Anyway, the kids were, they weren't younger. And I was in the process of building a home, and the one I live in now, and, we were staying in a little log cabin. Brother David Horton had bought some land, and it had a little log house on it that Robert Sheffie used to stay in. And he gave that to me free of charge to live in it. You know, it was old-fashioned, just old, really dilapidated old log house. But I patched it up and sealed the cracks, and you've been there. You remember, it was dilapidated, wasn't it? Can you say amen to that? And I remember my children there, it was kind of close quarters. I think it was a 4-room house, you know. And the kids are in the attic, some of them. And I remember getting a burden for my kids. And I got in prayer one morning. And I got to asking the Lord to keep my children for me. You know, I was preaching and pastoring and... And there's, I had 4 children at the time. Kinsey hadn't come along, and Isaac was about 2 years old, and so you know, and they went on up. And I hope you'll bear with me tonight. But I asked the Lord, you know, Lord, will you keep my children saved? Keep them in the house of the Lord. And I know I'm sounding like I'm a real spiritual dude, but I'm not that really. But the Lord spoke to my spirit, and He asked me this question. Amen. When I asked Him, Lord, will you keep my children? He said to me back, after praying for a while, He impressed my spirit, how much are you willing to invest in me? And it just stopped me. You know, He didn't just say, yes, I will keep them. But He asked me, how much are you willing to invest? I'm preaching from that text. Paul said, I gladly spend and be spent for you. Amen. Now listen, we're not going to see anybody saved until we're willing to invest in their salvation. Now you say the Lord's already invested. He gave, but brother, am I right, Brother Bill? What did He say? He did die for them. But the doctrine of the Bible does not teach us that He saved for all mankind, and that's the end of the story. He said at the Mount of Olives, He said, go ye, tarry at Jerusalem until you're endued, amen, with power from on high. And then He said, go ye into all the world. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. And He gave us a commission, amen, to go, amen, win somebody, amen, to the Lord. And so He wanted, and that's what the Lord asked me. And I said, Lord, will you keep my family? He said, how much are you willing to invest? in their safety and in their salvation. And of course, I went to God. I hope I don't wear you out tonight. But I went to the Lord in prayer, and he said, "Are you gonna keep your home straight where there'll be no evil influences? Are you gonna?" I say, "Yes, Lord." I knew exactly what he was talking about. I'm going to. Are you gonna live salt before him? Are you gonna pray for him every day? You say, God don't talk to me like that. Yes, he does. He is right now. Are you going to call their name in prayer every... You believe the Lord? It was the Lord. You believe it's him talking to me, huh? It sounds like him, don't it? Are you willing, amen, to spend time in prayer? Are you going to resist, amen, being out of their life so much that you don't can't lead them? Amen. Are you listening to me? Are you going to resist spending so many hours, amen, out of their presence that they just are aimlessly wandering? Yes, Lord. Amen. I hear you talking. Come on now. Are you willing to fast a day or so every now and then? How much do you really want to see, amen, your children? Hey, it's an investment that you're going to have to make. We can't come to church and put our dollar in the offering and say, "Preacher, win them if you can." And the closest thing you come to the mission field is the Mexican restaurant, praise God. I want to tell you something here. Amen, we're going to get a burden. Amen, and come on now. You ain't helping me preach. Well, maybe you are. Maybe it ain't much help for me. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to preach to you. Amen. That first, amen, is give. He said, "I spend." Amen. He was telling these Corinthian people, amen, they had started a little rumor on him that he was just coming to benefit himself. And so he took them with guile. He knew that's what they were saying. So he didn't let them give him a dime. He financed his own trip. He spent his own money. And he said, "Not only did I spend for you, I've been spent. I rode that old ship. Amen. I climbed them hills. Amen. I walked and worked and labored, and I did it gladly." Are you listening to me? And he won those people. Are you listening to me? He won those people because he was willing, amen, to spend and be spent for their sake, even though they didn't appreciate it. Amen. I'm going to show you how I know you got the Holy Ghost. You're full of the Holy Ghost. Are you ready? I don't know if I can do this just right. Let me get up here where you can see me. Now don't worry about how much weight I've gained. Brother Savage seemed worried about that. He laughed. But anyway, here, you ready? Here's a way you can tell. Ready? Watch it. That's how you can tell. You didn't get that, did you? I tell you, you're nervous. Ooh. Hey, I'm not going to say I'm going to give the offering back because that's not my department. Don't let them talk you into it, brother. Hey, I'd love to have revival. Are you willing to pay the price? I don't think we're going to have one without it. Well, God promised revival. Amen. Well, yeah. Amen. But he didn't promise it unconditionally. Amen. Are you listening to me? He did not promise it unconditionally. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I want to preach to you. Oh, I don't want to preach too long. 9:00 and we're out of here. Hallelujah. To the altar. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to preach to you. Amen. Paul said, "I spend." Oh, yes. It is money. Amen. Oh, yes. It is your money too. Amen. You say, "That's all preachers." I remember, I've told this before, but we had a pretty good crowd. And you know, back then, we took an offering up once a month for the school. We have a Christian school. And those kids, now I don't know if you understand, your kids are like this. But our kids don't want to pay nothing to go to school. I can't get a dime out of them. Matter of fact, they pay me to shut it down. I take up an offering for the school. And that morning we took an offering for the missions, and then we took the offering for the school, and then we took the tithe and offerings and alms or whatever else anybody wanted to give. Three offerings. One lady was visiting, and my mother is getting older, but she has good hearing. She heard this lady say, "I wish I'd left my purse in the car." I don't know why, because I'd say she didn't give anything. It just bugs people. I said it bugs people. And I'm getting off of this here in the next 2 or 3 hours. But it bugs people when you think you're going to. But you know, it's always free will. Praise God. Amen. But there's got to be, listen. And I can tell it around here, and this sermon may not even apply around here. Amen. But it might by chance. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, in order for us to have a move of God for souls, we're going to have to be willing to invest. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Oh, I want to preach to you. I got a couple of things I want to say here in a minute. Amen. Down home, we are in the coal country. Coal industry is the industry that our president said that he was going to make a regulation so tight that they couldn't afford to keep mining coal. I really don't know why anybody would have voted. Anyway, just tired of working, I guess. Hallelujah. I don't know. But they had a big layoff today. Consol. I've got 10 men in my church that work at Consol. Oh, brother, times are hard. I don't know if I can pay my tithes or not. Huh? I'm going to tell you, y'all. Now look, I'm going to preach to you. I told you, the money part is the simple part. Amen. Paul said, I'm going to ask you something. What is more important in our world? Amen. The grocery store or the church house? I'm going to ask you. Now, there's some here could care less about the church house. Somebody drug you in here out of a promise. I don't know how they got you here, but you could care less. Amen. But I want to tell you, in the eyes of Almighty God, there ain't nothing more important in the whole wide world than the work of the kingdom here on this earth. For if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul, amen, what does it profit? Amen. Could I tell you, listen to me now. Amen. I want to preach to us a little. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You say, well, I don't know if the Lord. You remember, amen, in the book of Mark chapter 12, the Bible said that Jesus was sitting over by the treasury watching what they were putting in the offering. Oh, I just don't. It's in there. He was sitting over there watching how much they were putting in. Now, I want to know tonight what you'd have put in if you'd have realized this before they took the offering. Jesus is watching. Oh, you ain't liking this. I'm going to sit down a while. Hallelujah. Y'all are sitting. Amen. I'm going to be Jesus for a brief moment. He was sitting by the treasury watching what was put into that offering. Rich folks were coming in, pulling out them big bills out of their abundance and walking up here and putting in. Jesus was standing over there looking, dropping in that big stuff, whatever they were putting in, and going back down. And a little woman came in, a poor woman, widow woman, wasn't it? Huh? And she came in with a farthing, 2 mites. Oh, y'all ain't helping me preach tonight. Amen. And she put those mites in that offering. Amen. And Jesus noticed it and called his disciples over. Come on now. Amen. I'm preaching about investing. Praise God. Amen. And that woman put in those 2 mites. And the Lord said to those disciples, this woman has gave more than everybody here. Amen. And they may have been looking too. And they said, boy, how could that ever be? Amen. And he said, she has gave of her want.
Amen. Come on now. They have gave of their abundance. I want to tell you when we're going to have revival. Amen. It's when you start giving, amen, out of your want instead of out of your abundance. Come on now. I wish somebody would help this preacher tonight. Amen. I want to preach to you. You're in this house tonight. And if you're not right with God, I want you to know we're investing in your eternal future. We're going to leave you a place, amen, to hear the gospel. We're going to pay these preachers to keep preaching the gospel. Amen. We're going to invest in prayer. We're going to invest in our heart. We're going to make it a priority. We're going to put it on the top of the list. We want you saved, and we're willing to pay the price. Oh, I got to preach to you a little bit here tonight. Amen. You know what he said? She's gave more than y'all. Amen. Because she gave all, amen, of her living. We're living in a spoiled generation. That's why we can't hardly have revival. Amen. People have whatever they want. And they're not willing to give. They're not willing to sacrifice. Amen. The Bible said present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. Hey, come on now, church. Amen. Somebody's lost. Amen. And we need to reach and work and labor for their soul.
Ooh. Lift your hands. Ask the Lord to help me right here. Oh, I wish I could preach to you. Get down here. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go to the Old Testament here for just a minute. I got an illustration. David had sinned really horribly. Now, I know you're which one you're thinking about. You're thinking about Bathsheba. That was horrible. He paid fourfold for that, didn't he? Can you say amen? But this other sin he committed, there were thousands of people died for it when he numbered the people. God said, don't number the people. Amen. Trust in me. But he numbered the people and the plague. Amen. The sword. Amen. Oh, the death angel was going through the country killing people. Amen. Thousands had died. Amen. And they came to a place. Are you listening to me? We're in that culture right now. America is going to hell in a handbasket. Are you hearing me? Amen. You know why? Our culture is so perverted and wicked and vile. Are you listening to me, preach? Amen. Can we have revival in a society like this? Amen. The sword is drawn. Amen. The nation that sins, the Bible said, will be cast into hell. And every nation that forgets God. Amen. That's where we're at right now. Amen. Oh, I feel... Amen. That listen, the scripture, amen, is in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Amen. And a man by the name of Ornan had four sons. And he was at a threshing floor, a threshing wheat. Amen. And this death angel had drawn his sword. Amen. And was coming through, destroying lives. Come on, church. How can we come to church night after night after night and never shed a tear for a lost soul? Or a wounded life, or wonder where they are not there. Hey, how can we have a dry eye? How can we not sigh? How? How can we not invest, amen, some tears and remorse, amen, in our lives for somebody that's lost? Am I right? Oh, somebody say amen. Help me preach a little bit here. Help me preach. I love you. I'm trying to help you. Amen. Ornan was threshing wheat, and he looked up, and he saw the death angel coming with his sword drawn. His four sons was with him, and the Bible said they hid themselves. And the king came up, amen, to Ornan, and here's the conversation that he had. Ornan turned back and saw the angel. I wonder what we're seeing. You ought to get up here and preach sometime.
Lord, just pass the mic and make everybody go up and preach. That would be such a great service. Huh?
And just look back here at the faces of your audience. Amen. Come on now.
Amen. Oh, I know I'm being mean to you. If I had to hold a 2-year-old kid on my lap through the service, I might backslide too. Amen. I don't know. Amen. I know it's a job. Amen. Come on now. Amen. But can I tell you, when you get under a burden for somebody, a sinner comes in and nobody ever wonders. I wonder if they'll pray tonight. I wonder what the preacher will do. I wonder if the Holy Ghost is going to reach for them. I wish somebody would say amen. Amen. There's no price too high. You've got to invest. You say, I pay my tithes. It's more than money. It's the man. I have spent my money and I've spent the man. I'll tell you, that's what we've got to have. Somebody's going to have to make a prayer closet. Somebody's going to have to get somebody on their heart. Somebody's going to have to intercede. This world is dying lost. Am I right? Now, brother, pastor, am I doing any good? Listen to this right here. Are you there? That's Prince of Fine. Can you read that? Listen to this. Verse 20. Ornan turned back. This will change your life. It changed Ornan when he turned back and saw the angel, huh? And his four sons with him. He saw the angel. Changed Ornan's attitude about everything. Listen to me. The Bible said David came to Ornan, looked and saw David, and he went out of the threshing floor, bowed himself to David with his face to the ground, and David said to Ornan, grant me this place of this threshing floor. And he bowed himself, amen, that I may build an altar there unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me. This is David. Thou shalt grant it to me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. Are you listening to me? I know I'm not preaching good to you. Amen. But I need to. Amen. We need to count the cost and realize it's worth more than $1. It's worth more than $100. It's worth more than all we have. It's not only worth our money, it's worth the man. Amen. Invest in a burden. Come on now. Invest in a burden. Invest, amen, in prayer. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Like the old preacher said, have you tried tears? Oh yeah. Amen. The devil, amen, has got his grip. But brother, the gospel will break his knuckles. I wish somebody would say amen. But the church is going to have to get up and pay the price. Listen, David had sinned. This sin was destroying his people. He was willing to pay the full price for this piece of land. But I want you to notice Ornan's attitude. Ornan said to him, take it. Let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. Remember, he saw the angel. I give thee the ox. I also give you the burnt offerings. Are you with me? I'll give you the threshing instruments for wood and the wheat for the offering. I give it all. That's why God was wanting Brother Roger that morning. I was praying for my kids when they were young. He said, I want you to dedicate all to the salvation of your house. Woo! I wish somebody would say amen. I want it all. Amen. Ornan said, I'm willing. I don't mean to bore you. Isn't it somehow this bores the church anymore? What, you want me to preach about the third heaven? But brother, a sinner man ain't going to see the third heaven. He's going to go to hell if somebody don't intervene. It's going to cost you, church. Are you willing to pay to see somebody saved? He said, take it, I give it all. Of course, David replied back to him and said, I'm not going to offer anything to the Lord that I have not paid for.
And it's somehow we want to get by on the cheap. Huh? That's all right if you're buying a suit of clothes. Go to the Goodwill. First time I ever met L.L. Collins, Brother L.L. Collins. I went to preach his meeting. And he met me at Bristow. And he said, my wife likes your preaching. He never did say he liked it. And he said, I need to get you, and I guess September's as good as any. That's how I first went in there. I went in, I've known him for years. But I went in, and he said, first thing he said when I sat down in his house, what size shoes you wear? I told him, I said, about 11 and a half. He said, there's a pair up there at the Valley Thrift. A vest just fit you, I think. He was a thrift store man. Oh, yeah, he could do it. I went up there. I wouldn't have worn to a rooster fight. I mean, they looked like gunboats. You know what I mean? Patent leather gunboats. I just wasn't going to do it. And I looked around to tell him I didn't think this was going to work. He was trying a suit on right there over top of his other suit. He was trying over a lemon yellow suit and a mint green tie. I love L.L., don't y'all? He's a Hey, we can be thrifty about everything but God's work. We can't cut corners. We can't go to the bargain basement specials. We can't go to the blue light. And say, I'll take a cheaper route. Oh, you ain't getting this, are you? Amen. You think, come on now. I'm almost done. It's 9 o'clock. Amen. I want to preach to you. Amen. David said, look, amen, I'm going to pay for this. And he built an altar. And the Bible said that the angel, amen, put his sword back in the sheath. That's what we need in Martinsville. That's what we need in South Carolina. That's what we need in Southwest Virginia. Amen. We got to have a move of God. Come on, church. Amen. I love. Amen. Shouting and running. I love that. I love counting the heads on Sunday morning. Amen. But listen, our main objective is not only to glorify God and edify the believers, but it's to evangelize a world that's going to go to hell and go forever. Am I preaching all right? What's it going to cost? I'm almost done. I remember reading a preacher wrote this account in a book. I can't remember the exact book. But the preacher said one night when he got ready to close his meeting, somebody like to come to the piano. He said he just had this burden on his heart. And said at dismissal, he said he had everyone. He said, I got something I want you to do as we're dismissed. He said, I'm going to go back and greet you at the door. He said, but before we close, before you leave, he said, I want you to stand, and I want the brethren to get on one side, the sisters over here, and I want you to pick a partner and pair off. And he said, what I want you to do is I want you to, if you feel, he said, I feel impressed to tell you, I want you to tell your partner that you've chose out, paired off two by two. I want you to tell your partner the deepest wound of your heart today that you haven't been able to share with nobody. And then then let them tell you their deepest hurts and their burden. And then when you've told this intimate thing to your partner, I want you to comfort one another. Pray for one another. So they stood up. You know, that's a little difficult. How many knows it's a little hard for holiness people to admit anything? Especially if they're hurting. Me? Oh, those tears, that's just been eating onions. Yeah, all right. So they begin to share with one another the deepest hurt of their heart. And the pastor just went on down the aisle, going to greet them at the door. A neighborhood boy, who's he didn't know, but his girlfriend had broke up with him that day because his boy had put his mother in the nursing home and was going to be committed to take care of his mama, who had become incapacitated. The girl didn't want the burden. She broke up with him. He'd never been to the church, but he noticed that night as he was walking the streets, wondering whether to just take his life or what to do, He saw there were cars on Friday night at the church, and he knew that was unusual. So he just stepped in the foyer about the time the preacher closed the service, and he looks up there, and the preacher comes back and stands. He sees this boy standing there looking up into the church where people were standing up there talking to one another and comforting one another. And he said, "Hey, what are they doing?" And the preacher said, "Oh, well, I didn't see you standing there, son." He said, "You live in the neighborhood." "Yes, I live. I noticed cars here, but I need to know, what are they doing up there?" And the preacher looked, and he didn't know how to explain it to him. And he said, "They're comforting one another." And that boy just broke down and said, "That's exactly what I need. Are you hearing me?" He said, "That's what I need." And the preacher said, "Well, come on, son. We got time." And he told the preacher his story. And that he wept and cried on the altar. I want to tell you, this world looks pretty wicked out there. But really, this is what they need. I said, this is what, if you're here lost tonight, I'm going to tell you, this is what you need. Oh, I know you've heard all the horror stories about the hypocrites. People don't know what goes. Did I ever tell you about the time I was working with some old boys, and what old guy, I'd build a house for him, and that old boy, he said, "Can I ask you something to not hurt your feelings?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What are y'all doing in them holiness churches?" I said, "You never been in one?" "No, not me." He said, "What goes on in there?" I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, I've heard some things." I said, "Well, what have you heard?" He said, "I heard y'all get that music cranking, get all lathered up." That's what he said. He said, "Is it true that people actually fly around in there?" Boy, sometimes I'm pretty quick, but that caught me off guard. Boy, if I'd have been quick, I'd have said, "Oh, yeah, coming on right now. Want to go?" But, you know, I couldn't think quick enough, Brother Blue. I wish I could have. But that boy, he said, "Is it true y'all fly around?" He said, "I've heard you get all worked up and you can just come off the ground and fly around in there." This world don't know what we're doing. Why not? You know, in the New Testament, before Calvary, he told them not to tell people, and they went and told. And after Calvary, he said, "Go tell," and we won't tell. Have we got this mixed up or what? Huh? Hey, it's a secret too good to keep. Ah, come on now. Amen. I want to tell Beth. I want to go down to the jailhouse and rattle the bars and tell Beth, "You don't have to live on an addiction." I know you don't. Amen. Are you listening to me? I know you don't have to. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I wish you'd say amen. I tell you, church, amen, we need revival. And we're going to have to invest. We're going to have to spend. And we're going to have to be spent. Amen. What greater burden? Amen. I tell you, the death angel has his sword drawn. And the only way we can put that sword back in the sheath is to pay the full price and have revival. Would you stand with me? Oh, I didn't preach too good, but I sure feel good. I told this several times, I think it, when I preached that other message. And I've preached several times. I told about a woman by the name of Hazel Hurt. Was a homeless woman. Had a little girl, 12 years old, named Rhonda. How she'd come through when she was hungry, or a little girl needed something, or she needed medicine. And it was just a long story I'm not going to go into. And Hazel ended up dying at our church. Little old Rhonda left just about homeless, looked like. And I remember regretting sometimes the cost of Hazel. And some of the church folk, you know, had gave a whole lot to keep her alive. But that last week of Hazel's life, and I've told this, and I don't mean to repeat myself over and over, but I'd been down in Arkansas preaching. I got the biggest offering I'd ever got at a 1 week meeting, And I didn't realize that I was going to have to give it away. I was counting it up, what I was paying off. I mean, it's $3,000. And I had it in her, buddy. And I tell you, I was feeling pretty rich. Until Hazel called. Actually, Rhonda called, 12-year-old girl. Mama's real sick. She's run out of her medicine. Is there any way that you could help us again? I know Mama said to tell you she thanks you for all them other times, and she hopes this will be the last time. And if there's any way, she's hurting real bad. She had crippling arthritis. And she's I was laying on the couch, I remember it real well. And I said, go by the medicine shop. I try not to act hateful. But I could feel that $3,000 starting to fly away. But I went up there and paid for her medicine. They went by the window and got her medicine. She started heading home. Well, it wasn't home. She didn't have a home. She went to her mailbox in West Virginia where she got her little $400 monthly check. And she called again. Cars broke down. Don't know what's wrong with it. It's awful hot in here. I'm not feeling good. So I called them up, used my debit card, got them a room, got their car in the garage. There goes the $3,000. Are you listening? I know it's pitiful. A few days later, preacher, I don't feel good. I decided not to go to Beckley, West Virginia. We really feel like coming back down there and going to church with y'all on Sunday. And is there any way you could give me a room there? And come on down. She called me again. The car's broke down. It won't start. I pushed it into this parking lot of this motel, called the motel. I said, I'll check on it. You coming to church Sunday? She said, I'm coming. If somebody will come and get me. They went to get her. She's too sick to go. Said she wasn't able. I said, y'all go back up there. Are you listening? Y'all go back up there Sunday night. Bring her to church. She promised to come. They went back up there to check on her. Said, Brother Randy, she's a nurse, the lady I sent. Said, Hazel's really bad off. Said, I'm going to take her to the hospital. Little old Rhonda's crying her eyes out. Only thing she had in the world was she had no alcoholic, drunken daddy that abused the life out of her. That's why her mama stayed on the run. Car full of lice. Everything they owned in that one little old beat-up car. That night, they called me at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, you're put on this woman's chart as next of kin. And we have sad news to tell you. Miss Hurd's died. And your little girl is here and needs somebody to come and be with her. I drove over to the hospital, intensive care. There stood little Rhonda. Their head bowed. All she had in the whole wide world. But I'm going to tell you something. Now listen, I'm talking about investing. In the AR that evening, I went in to pray for Hazel. And she took me by the hand. She said, preacher, the Lord saved me. And I knew the stuff she told me she's never going to do again. I knew God had saved her. She lived just a few hours. Went to glory. The motel called me. I hope I'm not wearing you. Stay with me just 2 more minutes. I'll be done. I went to the motel to move the car. We buried it right down below the church there. And as a matter of fact, that's the wedding I'm going to. That's Rhonda's wedding coming up Saturday. She's 21 years old now. And she wanted me to be sure and be there. When I got in Hazel's car, she had a little old note stuck all in the vents and stuff. Little notes rolled up, and the car was just out of gas that time. It went, but that motel owner wanted it off the parking lot, so I went up there to move it. And I think the Lord led me to the little note and it was a prayer to God from Rhonda. And she talked to him just like she'd talked to her grandpa. And she said, "Dear God, Mama's really hurting and we're out of medicine. And we don't have any money. Would you please make a way for Mama to get her medicine?" And she signed, "With love, Rhonda." And underneath there, she had my phone number wrote. Are you listening? That was the very day. She had it dated, had it all. It was the very day that I was laying on that couch. And she called from that phone booth and said, "Could you help me buy my Mama's medicine?" And I realized that I was an answer to little Rhonda's prayer. Are you listening? Now, I know what you're thinking. But all the dollars, few dollars we spent when I dropped Hazel's body in the grave, I didn't regret one dime. And Saturday when I walk in there and be there to represent poor little Rhonda and her marrying a nice little old guy, you think I'm going to regret one dime of that? Not one dime. For there's no price too high for a soul. Is that right? Am I right, preacher? My little 15-year-old girl, she'll be 16. Kenzie will be 16 in July the 3rd. I'm gonna take her up into the woods there above the house, lock her up for 5 years. So if y'all want to say goodbye to her, you want to call her, because I can't go through that. I remember when she was a little girl, and Ken's, you that know me know without me going into it, little Kim's has had a little tougher go than other kids. And I remember somebody gave me a picture of a youth camp when Kinsey was about 5 years old, and she was getting filled with the Holy Ghost and had her little old face in the air. And I'm not much at photographing services, but somebody did photograph this, and there was somebody, brother, somebody in the picture was out. All I could see in the picture was their arm, brother, and their hand, and my little girl's hand in the air, and they had their hand on hers. It was a man. It was a man's hand. I don't know who owned this arm, but I'm glad he invested in my little girl. Those prayer meetings, Brother Bill, me and you and Sister Prescott had to keep me alive. I don't know if anybody knows, but you invested a little bit in me, a lot in me. We're not going to make it without an investment. Am I right? Now, I know I've preached a long time. I said we're not going to make it without investment. We're in the last day. It forevermore aggravates me for preachers to gossip about each other and to tear one another down. Now, if you think you're helping somebody by calling somebody and saying, "Brother Roger, I was talking to Brother Prescott today. He don't have much confidence in you." Now, is that dumb or what? I mean, I really wasn't talking to him. It's just an illustration. I'm not sure. I think he does have confidence. Do you understand what I'm saying? That ain't going to help nothing. We need to invest in propping this thing up, pushing this thing higher. Somebody's dying. It may be somebody we know. And if they're not ready, it's a sad day. Sad day. So we're running out of time. One of my kids told me the other day, "Dad, you ain't getting no younger. You need to think about slowing down." I said, "That don't make any sense. If I'm running out of time, I better get with it, hadn't I? Huh? Is that right? I wonder if there's a soul in here. I wish I was a preacher. I wonder if there's a soul in this building. The devil's made a bid. I said, the devil's made a bid. I wonder if we could outbid him. Huh? I haven't thought it. I don't understand all about Hosea, but I wonder about Hosea going to bid on his runaway wife. I don't know what he bid, but he bid higher than anybody else. I wonder if we cast a bid for the broken. Huh? What did we bid? What did Christ bid? Going once? What was Christ's bid? He gave it all. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He just asked you to pick this up. Greater works than these shall ye do. Huh? I love preaching holiness. But you know, the Lord's worked me over more than one time to let me know you're a pastor of these people, but I want you to know these are people I died for. Don't ever forget it. That makes a difference. Hear me? Bow your heads with me. Every head is bowed for just a moment. I'm sorry I took so long. But I want to ask you, is there one soul in this building tonight whose heart is not right with God? You'd like to get peace with God at this altar. Is there one? We're investing in you. Not just our money, but our men. All right. Where's the church? You know your spot. Oh. Had a woman at a funeral the other day. Pearl. I grew up with Pearl. She was just a little girl when I left home. She got messed up. Away from God. Brother Roger. She got prayed through. Just before she died. You say, "Boy, what? That just don't seem, it seemed right to me." She left this world, escaped the devil because of Jesus. I love that. When the Lord showed me His mercy, so extensive, I loved Him more when I was praying about folks and I really was asking the Lord, "Lord, how are you going to destroy these people? With lightning, thunder, or a tsunami?" The Lord said, "I'm going to save them." You mean after all they've done? I'm going to save them. Because I'm God. And my mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Are you listening? I wish I was a preacher. Here.
Lord is in the place tonight, and there are souls that need the Lord. This altar is open. Saints, are you praying? Is somebody give their heart to Jesus? Is somebody here? lost, God's speaking to your heart, will you come right now? Deal around these altars. There'll be somebody to pray with you. Jesus will be here to meet you. You can get saved tonight. Spirit of the Lord is here to deal with your heart. The Holy Ghost wants to save you. Would you move out for Jesus right now? Would you come right now? Pray, saints, for just a few moments here, just a few moments of time, somebody can prepare for eternity. Are you ready to meet God? Do you need Jesus tonight? Will you come right now? Come kneel at this altar. Somebody will be here to pray with you. We love you. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to save you. Will you come? Is there one? Is there two? Is there three? Is there four? Are you here without Jesus? Will you come now? All right, saints of God, would you gather in the altars? Maybe some sinner will step out and come with you. Maybe they just need a little nudge to come with you to the altar. Let's seek the Lord. Pray for souls. Pray for your own soul. Pray for the souls of your families. Pray that God will help us to invest in souls.